The Boston Red Sox were the last Major League Baseball team to desegregate. In 1959, 12 years after Jackie Robinson integrated baseball, and 2 seasons after Robinson retired, the Red Sox moved infielder Pumpsy Green up from their minor league team. Racial exclusion on the Red Sox extended into the stands of Fenway Park, where black fans often felt unwelcome. New owners have purchased the Red Sox, and they've decided to confront the emotional story of Boston, baseball, and racism. NPR senior correspondent Juan Williams prepared this report.
Fresh off the jumbo peanuts, you two, for the ball game over here.
On the last day of the regular season this year, fans streamed into Boston's Fenway Park. The Red Sox routinely draw large, enthusiastic crowds from around New England, but what's noticeable on this day, and at most Red Sox games, is the near-total absence of black or Hispanic fans. Many teams have trouble attracting minorities as fans, but in Boston, black fans have consciously turned their backs on the Red Sox as part of a long and contentious relationship between the team and its black players and Boston's minority community. That history reflects bitter race relations in a notoriously segregated city. In 1945, the Red Sox held a tryout at Fenway for Jackie Robinson. With only management in the stands, someone yelled, "Get those niggers off the field," according to a reporter who was there that day. 2 years later, Robinson became the first black player in the major leagues with the National League's Brooklyn Dodgers.
Robinson waits. Here comes the pitch. And there goes a line drive to left field. Slaughter's after it. He leaps. It's over his head against the wall. Here comes Gilliam scoring. Brooklyn wins.
In 1949, the Red Sox had exclusive rights to sign another future Hall of Famer, Willie Mays. But one of the team's scouts decided that it wasn't worth the time to wait through rainy weather to scout any black player. That decision killed the possibility that Mays and Ted Williams might have played together in the Red Sox outfield.
If the Red Sox had indeed signed Jackie Robinson when they had the opportunity, Willie Mays, what would the history of the Red Sox have been?
John Henry, the team's new principal owner, regrets that when it comes to race, the team's history includes so many errors.
Everyone in the organization and the fans would have demanded, there must be more Jackie Robinsons out there, must be more Willie Mays. We can't afford to have a hint of racism just from a competitive standpoint, much less a humanistic standpoint.
The Red Sox allowed a segregated club near the team's spring training facility in Florida to hand out passes to white players only until the story became public in 1985. And until recently, the Red Sox rarely pursued even the most talented black or Hispanic players. In the early 80s, the Sox roster was practically devoid of African-American players, except for star hitter Jim Rice. As recently as 1990, there were hardly any black players on the team. Tommy Harper, who was recently fired as the team's first base coach, played for the Red Sox for 3 seasons in the 70s and once successfully sued them for discrimination.
The Red Sox didn't go out looking for black players. They didn't want to recruit black players. And the ones that did make it to the big leagues, they didn't seem to stay very long. And I think if anyone cares to look at the numbers and look at the years of service for black and Latin players, you will find that black and Latin players do not last very long in the Red Sox organization.
One recent afternoon, Jim Rice, the 8-time All-Star, dropped by the Red Sox locker room to work out. When it comes to racial issues in Boston, he said, his survival strategy was to put up a great batting average and keep to himself.
My acquaintance with Boston was mainly just play ball and go home, and that's what I did. I didn't see race. I didn't get into the politics of race. I didn't go back and look at the Red Sox history. I was drafted by the Red Sox. I'm the type of person that if I'm not wanted, I go the other way. I don't want to cause any trouble.
I interpret the comment as one of fear.
Howard Bryant, a Boston native, has just written a history of the team entitled Shut Out, a story of race and baseball in Boston.
This fear of backlash, this fear that you were going to somehow pay a price, because so many black players in the past, when they had talked about these issues, they did face some kind of backlash. There was some kind of repercussion that they paid for being out front.
Bryant, who grew up in a predominantly black Boston neighborhood, rooted for the Red Sox as a 7-year-old. But black adults started sending him a message.
The adults would tell me when I got a little bit older that nobody in the black community rooted for the Red Sox. And they started to tell me why they rooted for the Dodgers, the teams that integrated, the Cardinals, and that the Red Sox were considered one of the most racist teams in baseball. You find out that you've got a 50-year legacy of difficulties between the Boston Red Sox and the African-American population.
Now Bryant sees a rare window of opportunity for the team to set a positive example on race for the entire city.
when you tried to talk about this 10 years ago, there were too many people who would say, ah, race in Boston, it's all in your head. Ah, people are talking about race again. This ownership group is the first ownership group in Red Sox history that has pledged to take this problem on head on because they recognize that it's not only race, it's economics.
This push towards better relationships with blacks and Hispanics in the city comes as two of the team's biggest stars are people of color, pitcher Pedro Martinez and hitting champ Manny Ramirez. But Charles Steinberg, Red Sox Vice President of Public Affairs, contends improving the team's image in the minority community has a business dimension.
No ball club has the right to create the impression that some segment of the population isn't welcome. And you must bend over backwards to make sure that all members of your community do feel welcome. And that's welcome at the ballpark, welcome to play, welcome to feel pride in wearing your merchandise.
As a first step in addressing the Red Sox history of discrimination, the new ownership reached out to black churches. The team started and equipped a 16-team Boston Area Church League with 500 players between the ages of 10 and 14. Reverend Samuel Byron Hogan of Good Shepherd Church is commissioner of the league.
The new ownership has said, let's pull in everybody, and has been very gracious to let us know that anytime there's youth groups that need tickets, they will find tickets. If there's youth activities, the answer is yes. Now, this is something special. Whatever it is you asked us, the answer is already yes. Now, we don't know how we're going to figure out how to do what you asked us, but the answer is already yes.
Reverend Stephen Thomas of the Assaw Temple Church of God in Christ was hesitant to have his church take part because of the troubled history the Red Sox have with the black community.
You know, you hear a lot of conversation, a lot of talk, and a lot of promises that many times don't have a lot of follow-through. But I observe this new ownership, and their commitment to the community is very sincere. Not only have they always delivered on every promise, but they've always gone overboard.
The Red Sox are also trying to find a black or Hispanic multimillionaire to join their new ownership group, starting a scholarship program for city kids, doing business with black radio stations, and organizing visits by Red Sox officials to black and Hispanic civic and religious groups. Steinberg admits it's slow going to change the Red Sox image.
You don't suddenly see fans pouring in who didn't before. You could do that if this weren't so personal and if this weren't so emotional and if this weren't so deep and you could do an ad campaign. Come, buy our product. No. This is not something you can change through the media or through marketing. This must be the basis of word of mouth, of believable people who believe you. It's going to take time.
There's little doubt that O-line New England institutions, such as the Red Sox, have a legacy of racial intolerance and are resistant to change. But the Boston area is becoming more diverse over time, and the new ownership has made racial change, as much as winning baseball games, the hallmark by which their tenure will be judged. In Boston, that will require playing real hardball. Juan Williams, NPR News, Boston.
A video of Ted Williams' 1966 Hall of Fame speech, in which he addressed racism in baseball,